WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. WMGF HD3, Mount Dora, Orlando. News Radio WFLA, an iHeart radio station.
Good morning, Orlando. It is 6 o'clock, and this is Central Florida's news, weather, and traffic on News Radio WFLA Orlando on 94.1 FM, 93.1 FM, AM 540, and the iHeartRadio app. Along with Bud Hedinger, I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, classroom discipline under the microscope in Brevard County. More in 1 minute. 6:01 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. School leaders, teachers, and parents, and others in Brevard County are trying to get to the bottom of a discipline problem that has seen dozens of teachers and bus drivers quit in recent weeks. During a meeting yesterday, teachers said the classroom is not a safe place.
I've had my hair pulled and been pulled down to the ground. I've had my throat gone for on multiple occasions.
Bernard Bryan with the NAACP urged officials not to be too heavy-handed as they crack down on disruptive students.
I just want to ask Mr. Susan and the board and those who are here in the community, look at our children through the eyes of Christ. Don't segregate them. Don't put them in a position where they feel that they're going to go to prison.
Brevard School Board Chairman Matt Susan says several more meetings will be held before any changes to the district's discipline policy are enacted. Brittany Griner is back in the United States. A plane carrying Griner landed this morning in San Antonio, Texas. Thanks to a prisoner exchange, the WNBA star is reuniting with her wife and parents after being jailed in Russia for nearly 10 months. Meanwhile, some Pentagon officials are concerned that the Russian arms dealer who was released in the swap for Griner could go back to illegally trafficking weapons. Trey Thomas reports.
Arms dealer Victor Boot was serving a 25-year prison sentence in the U.S. on charges of conspiring to kill Americans, delivery of anti-aircraft missiles, and aiding a terrorist organization. Pentagon officials worry that Boot could go back to fueling conflicts around the world. Boot is a former Soviet military officer who launched a cargo airline with a small fleet of planes in 1995. Trey Thomas, News Radio, WFLA, Orlando.
The first Gen Z congressman-elect says he was denied an apartment in Washington, D.C. because of his really bad credit. 25-year-old Maxwell Frost will represent Central Florida's 10th congressional district when the new Congress convenes next month. Frost says his credit was bad because he ran up a lot of debt running for Congress. On Thursday night football between the Rams and Raiders in Los Angeles, it was a Hollywood ending.
Quarterback Baker Mayfield was claimed by the Rams off waivers just 2 days before, but he led Los Angeles on two fourth-quarter scoring drives to pull out a comeback 17-16 win over the Raiders. Mayfield was 22 of 35 for 230 yards and a touchdown pass to Van Jefferson with just 10 seconds left to seal an improbable victory in what has otherwise been a disastrous season for the Rams. LA improves to 4-9 on the year, snapping a six-game losing streak. Meanwhile, it's a devastating loss for the Raiders, who had won three straight games, but now fall to 5-8 on the season. I'm Eric Messersmith, Fox News.
WFLA News Time is 6:05. A former WWE superstar is reportedly returning to wrestling. That story is online at WFLAOrlando.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at WFLA Orlando. The first hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
Quick wit and compelling perspectives. Glenn Beck, 9 till noon. News Radio WFLA Orlando.
Good morning, Orlando. Bud Hedinger, Alan Spector, Guy Roberts, and Lizzie Steele. Well, I can account for the other three, but I'm not sure about me. I'm working out of the home office while I continue to recover from the broken back and the broken foot from the big fall a while back. But something has happened to the sound system here, and I'm working off the telephone right now. Now, gang, you got to tell me, because you would know better than anybody. Are we making the connection here?
Yeah, we can hear you, bud, but it does sound like you're on a telephone.
Because I am, and we're trying to solve the problem here furiously, and hopefully I'll be able to be part of the show here because I'm excited about what we need to talk about here. And right off the top, gang, we're going to get into this unbelievable deal that Biden cut with Putin for the release of basketball star Brittney Griner, giving up this hardcore Russian arms dealer, the merchant of death, Victor Boot. I mean, to me, it's a complete outrage. And we're going to talk about whether or not it ought to have been done at all. Why did Biden agree to do it? And why did Putin agree to do it now? So speaking of telephones, if you want to talk it over, 407-916-5400, we're here. Text line is 23680, or you can go off on your own, make your own recording, and let us know in less than 30 seconds on a talkback through the iHeartRadio app exactly what you think of this deal and the answers to these questions. That school discipline issue in Brevard County, which I think is a factor in other counties as well. We're going to talk about what they're working on in Brevard and whether or not it's the direction they need to go to solve this problem with all of these unruly kids. And then the Twitter files, part two, they're out, and we'll tell you exactly what's going on there. So how are we doing so far? Is the phone hookup working?
So far, so good. We can still hear you, bud.
But I still sound like I'm on a telephone and not a microphone.
It's like you're in the next room if the next room was like 10 miles away.
Oh, lovely. Lovely. How are we doing in the control room, Guy and Lizzie? I don't think I've caused this at the home office, but, you know, if you come up with some kind of a way to solve this problem, put me on the short list of people who need to know, all right?
10-4, we got you.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got you, sort of. Tell you what.
We got your back.
One thing I know always works is when we whirl commercials. So how about we do that and take a quick update and then dive in on this prisoner swap here on News Radio WFLA. Good morning, Orlando, on a Friday at 6:08. Headlining the story we'll be talking about with you seconds from now, Brittney Griner has been released from a Russian prison and has returned to the United States, the WNBA star, in San Antonio, Texas, and she's going to be taken to the Brooke Army Medical Center to be examined and debriefed. Griner released yesterday, of course, in that prisoner swap for notorious Russian arms dealer Victor Boot. Updates at least every 10 minutes in her top stories all morning on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, 107.7 HD3, AM 540, and the iHeart Radio app. This is News Radio WFLA Orlando.
All right, topic number one, what about the prisoner swap here? Should it have been done? Absolutely not. It's outrageous. It's the most unbalanced trade in history. And it's a danger to the United States that this guy Boot is back out there. More on him in a moment. I've got an interesting way to connect to exactly what a nightmare this guy is, and he's back in circulation. And then I want to know what you think is the answer to this question. Why did President Biden do this deal? Why did he do this deal? I'll tell you what I think's going on here, and it is outrageous. And also, why would Vladimir Putin agree to this deal now when he would not before? I think I have a handle on that. I'll run an idea by you along the way. But I'll tell you what, let's go back to the White House press briefing yesterday, and the question that is, you know, he always asks the question that we're all asking. Fox News young White House correspondent Peter Doocy really grilling the incompetent White House press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre. Here we go.
In this prisoner swap, why did Russia get such a better deal?
Look, you know, I've talked about this, and I'll say this again. Here were our choices. Our choices was Brittney or no one at all. Bringing home one American or no American at all.
And that's a professional athlete. We gave up a prolific arms dealer who was convicted of trying to kill Americans, who was called the merchant of death.
The professional athlete is also an American citizen. So let's not forget that. The president felt that this was an opportunity to bring Brittany home. He is going to continue to do everything he can to bring Paul Whelan home, just like he did with Trevor Reed, just like he was able to secure Trevor Reed's release.
How can you say that he's going to do everything that he can if he said just a few days ago he's not going to call Vladimir Putin until further notice?
We were able to do this through different channels, right? We were able to do this through different avenues, folks from the U.S. government that were able to make that negotiation, have those conversations, and secure Brittany's return. So we have been able to do this, and the president has been committed to getting this done. We are still working to secure Paul Whelan. At this time, we were not able to make that happen.
Us had an interview with John Bolton, used to be the national security advisor to Trump, now has turned on Trump, of course. But the Trump nixed a deal to give up Victor Boot, the notorious Russian arms dealer imprisoned in the United States, for Paul Whelan, because he wanted Whelan back, but the price was too high. I want you to listen to something right now. If you don't understand what a bad deal this is, maybe you'll understand it better now. This is the trailer from the movie Lord of War, made in 2005, starring Nicolas Cage as Victor Boot. President Biden just freed from an American prison Victor Boot to get basketball player Brittany Griner back. Here is Cage as Boot, and he's the first voice you're going to hear.
There are over 550 million firearms in worldwide circulation. That's one firearm for every 12 people on the planet. The only question is, how do we arm the other 11? Selling guns is like selling vacuum cleaners. You make calls, pound the pavement. I supply to every army but the Salvation Army. In the mid-80s, my weapons were represented in 8 of the world's top 10 war zones. Damn, you are good.
You get rich by giving the poorest people on the planet the means to continue killing each other.
I would tell you to go to hell, but I think you're already there.
That's the trailer from the movie all about Victor Boot. Here's Trump's reaction on Truth Social. What kind of a deal is it to swap Brittany Griner, a basketball player who openly hates our country, for the man known as the Merchant of Death, who's one of the biggest arms dealers anywhere in the world, responsible for tens of thousands of deaths and horrific injuries? Why wasn't the former Marine Paul Whelan included in this totally one-sided transaction, Trump asked. He would have been let out for the asking. What a stupid and unpatriotic embarrassment for the USA. Here is where I am on the release of Brittany Griner. This is driven by the left that is pulling all of Biden's strings. She is a gay black woman imprisoned in Russia. Checks all of the liberal boxes. To them, the deal was worth it because of who she is and the spokesperson she is for black America and for gay Americans as well. But the price was too high. Putin finally agreed to let her go to get Boot, because he knows that Boot knows where all the big supplies of weapons are around the world, and Putin is desperate for more weaponry to win his war against Ukraine. And he needed to have Boot by his side. I think that's what's going on here. What do you think? Let's talk at 407-916-5400, text line 23680. Make a talk back on the iHeartRadio app. I want to hear from you. And we'll talk among ourselves here on Good Morning Orlando as well, after a quick update on Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes at 6:18. Check of headlines for you right now. SpaceX putting dozens of internet satellites into orbit for a Starlink competitor. A Falcon 9 rocket blasted off from NASA's Kennedy Space Center last evening, carrying 40 OneWeb satellites. It was a magnificent launch, just clearly visible for a long period of time from my vantage point here, 30 or 40 miles inland. OneWeb is building its own broadband satellite constellation that will compete with the SpaceX Starlink satellites. updates at least every 10 minutes on our top stories all morning here on Good Morning Orlando.
From News Radio WFLA, this is Good Morning Orlando. Call us at 407-916-5400 or text us at 23680.
Hey, it's Guy Robertson. You can give some of your friends a very good Christmas gift that you can enjoy yourself. News Radio WFLA Orlando and iHeartRadio want to send you and three of your friends on a VIP holiday trip to New York City to see the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. That includes your airfare, hotel accommodations, a special Christmas dinner, and a $1,000 holiday shopping spree. Plus, we're going to give you front row tickets to the show. And that's from our friends at Wild Child Touring. Just download and open our free iHeartRadio app and listen to Trans-Siberian Orchestra Radio to become an instant finalist. For more information, you can go to WFLAOrlando.com and click on the contest tab. Happy holidays from News Radio WFLA Orlando.
All right, the Budman back with you right now. We're working it from the phone because we have a few technical problems with the microphone hookup from my home office where I'm broadcasting to the studio where the rest of the gang is here this morning. Trump touched on this, that Brittany Griner, it's not like we're talking about a great American patriot here. She's got obvious problems with this country. And just to refresh your memory, do you remember when Brittany Griner, who's arguably the most prominent women's basketball player, WNBA star for years, called for the playing of the national anthem to be ended prior to WNBA games? This was after the killing of a black woman, Breonna Taylor. And Griner refused herself to be on the court when the national anthem of this country, the United States, was played. And a lot of people, including me, have had a big problem with Brittany Griner on that basis. I hope she now understands what a great country this is after having spent all those months in a horrible country, in a prison and then a penal colony in Russia. It'll be very, very interesting to see whether she's changed her tune about the United States. She's grateful to Biden and his team for getting her out. But I want to see whether or not she is willing to go beyond this. Honest to goodness, I think the left is so distorted in their thinking that I think they actually took a look at this, the people who pull all the Biden strings, and said, it's Brittany Griner, great spokesperson for black women in America, an absolute role model for the LGBTQ community. We have to get her out. She's one of a kind. She's precious. Give up the arms dealer boot? Yeah, absolutely. Sounds even to us. I think that is how out there the left is. But now the deal is done. And I'm convinced that Putin did the deal now that he wouldn't do before because he is desperate. He is losing the war that he declared against Ukraine. He doesn't have enough weaponry. Victor Boot knows where all the bodies are buried. In other words, all of the accessible weapon systems are buried all around the world, all where they are located, and the connections that he has. And he had to have Boot out of an American prison. Had to have him out. And he knew if he dangled somebody like Brittany Griner in front of Biden and the left wing of the Democrat Party, that this deal would get done, and it was. It's outrageous to me. Outrageous in every way. On the text line, one texter says, he's absolutely telling the truth here, bud, and it's all to get votes in 2024. Another, whoever brokered that deal needs to be hung for treason. That girl doesn't even like our country. What's the name of the movie about Victor Boot that starred Nicolas Cage, played the trailer before? It was Lord of War, back in, I think, like 2005 or so. We'll be back on this story. We're going to give you the latest on the Twitter Files Part 2 released at Elon Musk's order last night. That's in the next half hour. We got the business report with Gina Cervetti coming up. And, of course, ahead of that, my co-host Alan Spector ready to go with the bottom of the hour news update.
SpaceX helps out a competitor and a holiday gift for Florida drivers. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together in just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
Good Friday morning, Orlando. We're glad you're with us at the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. The Budman here working from home on the phone this morning and turning it over back in the studio to my co-host, Alan Spector. A little bit more on what went on at the Cape last night, Alan?
Yeah, that's right, Bud. SpaceX is sending 40 Internet satellites into orbit for its competitor, OneWeb. A Falcon 9 rocket lifted off from Kennedy Space Center late yesterday afternoon.
3, 2, 1, ignition.
SpaceX is helping out OneWeb, a British company that saw several launches from Russia canceled after Russia invaded Ukraine. State Representative Joe Harding, who was indicted on federal fraud charges Wednesday, has resigned. The indictments allege Harding, a Republican from Marion County, illegally obtained or tried to obtain more than $150,000 in pandemic aid loans for small businesses. Just in time for you to head home for the holidays, you should be getting a gift at the gas station.
We should see that downward trend of the pump continue.
AAA's Mark Jenkins says now that oil prices have dropped to about $70 or so per barrel from more than $90 about a month ago, prices at the pump are following.
There's a good chance the state average will drop below $3 a gallon, possibly in time for Christmas.
Right now it's averaging about $3.20 a gallon for regular in Florida, which is actually a bit cheaper than this time last year when prices were averaging just below $3.28 a gallon.
Erica Rodriguez, News Radio, WFLA, Orlando.
The FDA is authorizing COVID-19 vaccines that target the Omicron variant for children as young as 6 months old. Children 6 months through 5 years are now eligible for the booster 2 months after Moderna's two-dose vaccine series. Florida Gators football legend Tim Tebow is out with a new book. Tebow says it's here in time for the holidays, but the idea is to help folks focus on what's really important all year long.
There are so many things that are challenging us for our attention, and they're saying, hey, make this the most important thing in your day. Make this the most important. That's why Mondays are so hectic, right? Because we got all these things to get done in the week.
Tebow talked up his one-year devotional, Mission Possible, during an appearance on Fox and Friends. He says it provides 365 days of inspiration. Tiger Woods is one of four golfers competing in Capital One's The Match tomorrow at Bel Air in the Tampa Bay area. Woods will be paired with Rory McIlroy, while Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth will team up against the iconic duo. The golfers will tee off from Pelican Golf Club in a 12-hole competition. WFLA News Time is 6:34. You can win tickets to see Steve Martin and Martin Short at the Dr. Phillips Center. Just enter at WFLAOrlando.com.
This headline on the back end of Gina Cervetti's Bloomberg Business Report that appears to be an indication of how tough things are for a lot of folks in the economy right now. 401k hardship withdrawals hitting record highs. The Vanguard Group reporting 0.5% of people who have 401ks took a hardship distribution in October. And while that number may seem small, it is the largest share we've seen on record since 2004. Updates at least every 10 minutes in our top stories all morning on Good Morning Orlando.
Money, real estate, investments. Learn from the pros, evenings and weekends. News Radio, WFLA Orlando.
Hey, good morning. It's Guy Roberts here. And you can enter at WFLAOrlando.com to win tickets to see Steve Martin and Martin Short April 29th at the Dr. Phillips Walt Disney Theater. That's up for your chance to win. Go to WFLAOrlando.com. Also, you can listen there online or on the iHeartRadio app. You can take News Radio WFLA Orlando with you wherever you go because we will not stop talking. Just search WFLA Orlando on that free iHeartRadio app.
You know, I'm getting a lot of input here from our listeners on this prisoner swap and my take on it. As Biden greenlights this deal, he worked out in his team with Putin and the Russian hierarchy here to free the notorious Russian arms dealer, Victor Boot, the worst of the worst. And the guy who was convicted of plotting to kill Americans, among many, many things, and was serving like 26 years in an American prison, to free him. And he is back in Russia as we speak in order to get a basketball player out of the slammer and a penal colony in Russia by the name of Brittany Griner. Gay, black woman, WNBA basketball superstar, and they got her on drug charges, illegal drugs, a small amount of them, caught at the airport, but those are the laws in Russia. She said it was just sloppy packing on her part. She didn't mean to do anything illegal. She was sentenced to 9.5 years. I mean, that's Russian justice. Seems outrageous, doesn't it? But those are the laws, and that's their system. And Biden agreed to give up Boot in order to get Griner out of here. And I'm telling you right now, he's going to rue the day because Victor Boot is going to be finding weaponry, I am convinced, for Putin to prosecute more effectively the war he's now losing against Ukraine. And I think that's why Putin finally said, yeah, I'll do the Brittany Griner deal, but I'm not doing anything for Whalen here. They consider him to be a spy. I think the whole thing is trumped up. You know, but in Brittany Griner, you've got a gay black woman, spokesperson for black women, spokesperson, role model for the LGBT community. And to the left, we absolutely had to have her out. And of course, Biden wants credit for it. And of course, on the left, he'll get all of that. But he is being ripped, and in some cases across party line, for having given up far too much, which is the absolute truth. When you look at what we're getting from our listeners, well, John from Orlando says, Semper Fi, or Marine, he says, morning, Bud, agree with you 110%. It was a terrible deal. Another 100% right, Biden's been selling out America for the day he took office. Just another step in the division and the destruction of this country. Steve writing, Griner was released because she shares Joe's political views, while Whalen, the Marine, could possibly be a MAGA Republican and, you know, may have a political problem there. I think that's a factor, but you'll never get them to admit it. Hey, Elon Musk last night gave the green light for the release of the second part of his so-called Twitter files. First came out last Friday here, and indicating how the prior ownership of Twitter, run by Jack Dorsey and a whole bunch of liberals under him, and Dorsey may not have been a part of this, but how they suppressed conservative tweets. Conservatives and their opinions got harder and harder to see the light of day on the Twitter platform here. And the connections back to the DNC and the Biden administration, and no matter what they wanted done on Twitter or not done, it would be done. And lots of luck with the Republicans and the likes of Donald Trump or anybody else on the conservative side getting the same kind of connection to the old Twitter regime. Musk says that he is completely committed to making Twitter become the preeminent free speech platform. And he's going to root out the old guard, which he's doing at Twitter, and he's going to expose them for what they were doing when they ran the company that he bought for $44 billion. Part two of the Twitter files, internal documents, including emails and other official communications, show that the company would build blacklists of certain users or tweets, and they were all conservatives, all on the right. All of this came out through the journalist Barry Weiss, and here is what she concludes. A new Twitter files investigation reveals that teams of Twitter employees build blacklists, prevent disfavored tweets from trending, actively limit the visibility of entire accounts or even trending topics, all in secret without informing users. And she noted a particular prominent doctor who was on the media a lot during the COVID platform, who was a vocal critic of COVID lockdowns. He was secretly placed, Weiss says, on a trends blacklist, which prevented his tweets from trending. Same thing was done to Fox's firebrand conservative radio host and podcaster, Dan Bongino. There is something also called visibility filtering, which has now come to light with the second round of the now-released Twitter files, with the promise of more to come. Tell you all about it right after we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic very quickly in 2 minutes on News Radio WFLA. Good morning, Orlando, at 6:48. This Florida headline for you now. Investigators are looking for those behind attacks on a half a dozen Florida power substations. The attacks occurring around the time of Hurricane Ian in September. Duke Energy officials believe that the person or persons responsible had inside knowledge of the substations and how to shut down equipment. Updates at least every 10 minutes in our top stories here on Good Morning Orlando.
Use your smart speaker. Tell Alexa to play News Radio WFLA Orlando.
Good morning, Orlando. This is Lizzie Steele. And if you've not downloaded our free iHeartRadio app, well, you're missing out on a really cool podcast, especially if you miss Elsewhere with Alan Spector, Melissa Fox's Florida Roundtable, Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins, or Good Morning, Orlando. Download the free iHeartRadio app and search this podcast right now.
So we're talking about round two of the so-called Twitter files that Twitter owner Elon Musk is having released through a couple of journalists here as he tries to clean up Twitter and end the bias that it's had toward the left and against the right as he moves forward with ownership. I'll tell you in a moment something that is now reported that he says he is about to do. But something came up on the second round here of the Twitter files called visibility filtering. And Barry Weiss is the journalist who Musk trusted to release all of this information. And here is what she says. VI, it's called visibility, or VF, visibility filtering. Alan, have you heard of visibility filtering before?
That has not crossed my radar lately, or ever, as a matter of fact.
Thanks, because it hadn't crossed mine either, but it refers to Twitter's control over user visibility. And here is what Weiss is reporting, and all blessed by Elon Musk. VF was used under the old Twitter ownership to block searches of individual users, to limit the scope of a particular tweet's discoverability, making it harder, you know, for you to connect with what somebody else had put out there, to block select users' posts from ever appearing on the trending page and from inclusion in hashtag searches. That these actions were taken without the account owner's knowledge. Musk confirmed in a later tweet that some accounts on the right were suspended even when Twitter internally acknowledged that they had not broken any rules that would make them deserving of suspension. Very interesting. Now, listen to this. This is what Elon Musk says is going to be an upcoming change in Twitter. To directly identify whether conservatives or anybody actually has been shadow banned. And in other words, where they, you know, whatever they put out there, if Twitter doesn't like it, they just make it harder for anybody else to see it. Musk says there's going to be a new change, a software update, that Twitter is working on a software update that will show your true account status so you will know clearly if you're on Twitter, if you've been shadow banned, the reason for it and how to appeal to get back where you should be. So that also came out yesterday. Alan, you've always pointed out it's a private company. They can do whatever they want. And I think you're absolutely right. But I think the commitment that Musk has made to making this a free speech platform that's balanced for everybody, he is just putting out there the information as he sees it in these Twitter files as to exactly how it was done before. So a contrast is established by what it is that he plans to do with Twitter.
Yeah, and I'd like to make the point, Bud, that although I have said in the past and have continued to say that Twitter is a private company, they can do what they want, it doesn't mean I support what they've been doing or the things we're finding out now about in the files that Elon Musk is revealing. It would be nice to have a completely free social media platform that folks could jump on and talk about whatever they want without feeling that they're going to be censored.
Here is a tweet that has come in, a text that has come in on the text line to 23680 on these Twitter files. The texter says, note and note it well, the Democrats are going to use every tool in their book to shut Musk down, and that they have announced it. Schumer and Karine Jean-Pierre, the incompetent press secretary for the president, and others have announced it, the texter writes. We are truly at an inflection point here on the expression of free speech that I truly believe there is a powder keg brewing. Joe, thank you. Appreciate that. So there we go. Alan, in the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about this marathon meeting at the school board in Brevard County yesterday, where they were trying to figure out what to do to tighten up school discipline. They got a lot of kids are misbehaving, to say the least, attacks on teachers, school bus drivers, etc. And I don't know that they resolved anything, but I do have some information on what they seem to be developing a consensus on and whether or not this is going to get the job done and end the disciplinary nightmare that is being reported in the Brevard County schools. And I'm sure it's not unique to that particular county. So we'll all be talking about that in the next hour together. Bud Hedinger, Alan Spector, Guy Roberts, Lizzie Steele, and we are glad you're with us. Once again, if you're just joining us and I sound a little bit different, I've got a technical problem in the home office hookup here where I'm still broadcasting, and we're working it from my end on the phone. So why don't we turn it over to somebody who really sounds good because he's working on studio equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, my co-host, Alan Spector.
Well, thanks, everybody. It's good to be here. The U.S.-Russian prisoner swap under fire, and an NFL quarterback's career might have been resurrected on Thursday Night Football. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together in just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. WMGF HD3, Mount Dora, Orlando. News Radio WFLA, an iHeart radio station.
Good morning, Orlando. 7 o'clock on a Friday morning. Welcome aboard for our latest look now at Central Florida's news, weather, and traffic for you on News Radio WFLA Orlando on FM 94.1, FM 93.1, still on AM 540, and on the iHeartRadio app. I'm Bud Hedinger.
And I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, Brittany Griner is back in the USA, and not everyone is happy about it. More in 1 minute.
And Brevard County's new school discipline plan beginning to take shape. Are they on the right track or not? Let's talk on Good Morning Orlando.
7:02 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. WNBA star Brittany Griner is back in the U.S. after being held for 9 months in Russia. Bree Jackson reports the 32-year-old Phoenix Mercury Center arrived in San Antonio, Texas early this morning.
WNBA star Brittany Griner landing on U.S. soil this morning after the Biden administration negotiated her release from a Russian penal colony.
She's lost months of her life, experienced a needless trauma.
Griner is now at the Brook Army Medical Center in San Antonio, where the government often sends people who need to be debriefed or who require sensitive medical care after going through an ordeal like Griner's time in Russian custody. She was exchanged for Russian arms dealer Victor Boot yesterday. The Biden administration is coming under fire for making that deal. Among those who are unhappy is Central Florida Republican Congressman Michael Waltz, who tells Fox News Boot will quickly go back to helping arm Vladimir Putin's regime.
They are desperate for ammunition and arms. They're scraping the bottom of the barrel from North Korea to Iran to around the world. And Victor Boot's going to be right in the middle of it for Russia's war effort in Ukraine.
And House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy called the deal a gift to Vladimir Putin that endangers American lives. After dozens of Brevard County teachers and bus drivers have quit in recent weeks, a frank discussion about student discipline took place yesterday. The teachers union president listed recent incidents that have school employees and parents crying enough.
Incident 5, student attacked 3 teachers today. Incident 6, a kid bit her on Friday. The bite mark on her arm is the size of an orange.
School board member and former teacher Gene Trent suggested more parental involvement.
From the extreme of we need maybe parents walking some hallways. We need parents to possibly sit in your child's classroom. Okay?
Brevard School Board Chairman Matt Susan says the discussions about modifications to the district's discipline policy will continue. The Los Angeles Rams scored two late touchdowns behind Baker Mayfield as they rallied past the Las Vegas Raiders 17-16 on Thursday Night Football at L.A. Mayfield, who was claimed off waivers this week after being released by Carolina, threw for 230 yards and a go-ahead touchdown to Van Jefferson with just 10 seconds remaining. Mayfield says it was a great way to end his Rams debut.
I don't know if you can write it any better than that. Obviously, we'd like to be a little bit more stress-free, but it's a pretty damn good story, I'll be honest with you. So it's special.
The Rams snapped their six-game losing streak and improved to 4-9 on the season. The Raiders dropped to 5-8 overall. WFLA News Time is 7:04. A congressional committee releases its final report on the investigation of sexual harassment and misconduct by the Washington Commanders. That story is online at WFLAOrlando.com. And that's where you can win a VIP trip to see Trans-Siberian Orchestra in New York City. The second hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
Follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at WFLA Orlando.
Hey, Alan was just talking sports with that amazing comeback led by Baker Mayfield for the Rams last night at Thursday Night Football. I'm thinking about basketball. That's Gator Nation, the Gators fight song, and we are your Gator Nation station. The next Gator basketball game you'll hear right here on WFLA will be next Wednesday, December 14th. Pregame is at 6:30, and the tip-off is at 7, and they're going up against Ohio there. That situation, guys, as we welcome you aboard for hour number two, butt-heading around Inspector Guy Roberts and Lizzie Steele last night. Nobody wanted Baker Mayfield. The Browns got rid of him. Carolina Panthers got rid of him. He was the overall number one pick in the NFL as a quarterback a number of years ago, and all of a sudden, the Rams were desperate. They needed him because Matthew Stafford is injured. They bring him in here. A couple of days, he has no opportunity to learn the playbook or anything, and he leads them on this 98-yard comeback drive, Brady-esque in every way, and they finish off a 17-16 win. Same score, by the way, as the Brady-led comeback against the Saints last Monday night. It's an unbelievable situation.
Yeah, but it was incredible, a true Hollywood ending for Baker Mayfield. But I'm thinking, you know, perhaps in this situation he was a little more relaxed, only coming in 2 days earlier. He had to feel like, well, nobody's expecting much out of me, so, you know, the pressure is not on me.
Yeah, I think, you know, you may well be right. The expectations were like zero. We just got to have a warm body out there with some experience, and all of a sudden, the guy catches fire. I mean, you know, you talk about how long it takes for a quarterback to perform effectively in the National Football League. Well, he's obviously played quarterback. But, you know, everybody has their own signals, their own playbook and all of this, and it takes forever to learn it as a QB. We hear that all the time. And the idea that he could perform effectively last night was nothing to me short of miraculous.
Well, let's not forget, Baker Mayfield was a number one draft choice by the Cleveland Browns, had his ups and downs with that franchise, and then things in Carolina didn't work out this season. But there is talent there, and we saw it on display last night.
So, you know, you got these bad actors, these kids in the Brevard County school system here. They're dealing with a discipline problem over there. They're trying to enhance their discipline program. And they came up with some ideas, and we're going to talk about it. You can't trade these kids like you can, you know, like in the NFL if you got a troublemaker. What are you going to do with these kids so that the teachers can teach and the school bus drivers can drive without both critical employees being driven out of the business, which is happening? We're talking about what they discussed and whether they're on the right track, and maybe you have some advice for them. Give us a call when you hear what we're about to lay before you at 407-916-5400, text line 23680. Make a talk back in the iHeartRadio app, and we'll play it. An update now for you on Orlando's news, weather, and traffic coming your way in a quick 2 minutes on the Friday edition of the show at 7:08. Headlines right now and some breaking political news. Democrat Senator Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona has announced she is leaving the Democrat Party. Sick of the partisanship, she says, and she is becoming an independent. A few more thoughts on that in a few seconds. Updates at least every 10 minutes in her top stories all morning for you here on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, News Radio WFLA Orlando, and still on AM 540.
What I don't yet know on the cinema story here is whether or not, as an independent, she'll still caucus with the Democrats and will be a reliable Democrat vote. If she is not, suddenly you don't have a 51-49 Democrat-controlled Senate. Then you're down to 50-49. If we can get Joe Manchin of West Virginia to switch to the Republican Party, and there's some conversation about that. I mean, it's a conservative state, and he's had all kinds of problems with the Democrats. It's a state that Trump won by like 40 points. If he were to do that, suddenly, if you don't have a Democrat in cinema anymore, suddenly you've got a 50-50 Senate. If it's 51-49, take away cinema, you're 50-49 if she doesn't vote with the Democrats. And then you add in Manchin. That takes another away from the Democrats. You've got am I right? You've got a 50. You've got a Republican Senate. Wouldn't that be something? We'll watch for it. There's more we need to learn, but I thought I'd give you what I have here this morning. Let's get into this situation, this marathon meeting out at the Brevard County School Board yesterday on a problem that I know is an issue, and I'm sure you do as well if you have kids in public school in Central Florida, to one degree or another in every single school district out there. But the focus here is on this big meeting out in the Brevard County School Board here. They brought in teachers, they brought in parents, they brought in people from all walks of life in Brevard County to try to hammer out some kind of an improved school discipline policy for Brevard County schools, because what they have on the books now apparently is not working. We heard stories of 42 teachers having quit because they can't take it anymore with the disciplinary problems since the first of the year, at least 8 school bus drivers as well, because of the chaos on the buses, that there is bullying, there is fighting, physical attacks, there are threats. And what have they come up with? They haven't agreed to anything. But I was checking out what was being reported by the local television news stations, and they seem in Brevard County to be kind of developing a consensus around a few things. That moving forward, there needs to be zero tolerance for any student assaulting staff with disciplinary consequences. Now, they have a policy against that right now. But what it seems to, the problem seems to be is that they're not enforcing what's on the books, and the kids know that they can get away with almost anything. And also, they seem to be developing a consensus around the fact that bad behavior on buses, there'll be zero tolerance, and there will be the same consequences as there are for these kids who are just out of control and causing chaos in the classroom. They're talking about enforcing a no cell phone use rule during class. And my understanding is they already have that, but they don't enforce it. You can't have a classroom with a teacher trying to teach and you got kids all of a sudden taking and making phone calls in the back of the room. And then they're also talking about another problem, which is pretty bizarre out in Brevard County, and maybe it happens elsewhere, taking action against parents who come onto the school bus when they've been told to get off, yelling at the driver, yelling at students. So there you go. Here's what I think is going on here in Brevard County, and tell me if you think I'm right or I'm wrong, that they already have all they need on the books, but they have not been enforcing it. They've been cutting these kids, these troublemaking kids, too much slack. You know, that there are suspensions and there are expulsions called for, but in many cases, they're not actually doing that to the kids. I think what needs to happen when you have these problems and on a repeated basis, a student is causing trouble in the classroom or on the buses. You call in Sheriff Wayne Ivey and the deputies, and you arrest them, and you put them in the Brevard County Jail. No suspension, no detention, no expulsion, well, maybe expulsion, but you put them in the slammer for a while, and you create a deterrent for that kind of behavior. I think the sheriff would love that. I think that's what they need to do. There was also a thing that went on for hours about racial bias and enforcing discipline in Brevard County. Let me tell you what I think about that here in a moment, and you tell me whether you think Brevard County's on the right track to cleaning up the disciplinary problems among students in their schools. 407-916-5400, text line 23680. Make a talk back on the iHeartRadio app and stay with us here on a Friday morning as we update Atlanta's news, weather, and traffic for you in 2 minutes at 7:18. Headlines for you right now. Nationally, Border Patrol agents in South Texas stopped a group of more than 700 illegal immigrants yesterday. This happening near a private ranch in the border town of Eagle Pass, Texas. They were mostly single men, and they were from Central and South America, Cuba, and the Dominican Republic. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories all morning for you here on Good Morning Orlando.
Feel like chiming in? Call us at 407-916-5400 or text us at 23680. This is Good Morning Orlando on News Radio WFLA.
That's the sound of the Beach Boys, and they're going to be having a Beach Boys Good Vibrations Cruise, and it's going to set sail in March. And News Radio WFLA Orlando has your exclusive chance to get on board and party with the boys. You and a guest will experience a five-night vacation with nonstop music. That's because they're bringing their friends. Isn't that right, Alan?
Yeah. The Beach Boys, it would be tough for them to entertain 24/7 during a cruise, but they're bringing along some help in the form of the Temptations, the Isley Brothers, the Righteous Brothers, Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray, the Beatles tribute band Rain, and more.
Yep, you're going to have a specially curated itinerary as you sail from Miami to Belize, then on to Mexico, and back on the big, beautiful Norwegian Pearl. Just go to WFLAOrlando.com. Click on the contest page for your chance to win. We want you to hop on the boat and prepare for all the good vibrations. Book now at www.thebeachboyscruise.com. That's not all. There's more. If you don't have time to cruise, you can enter at WFLAOrlando.com to win a pair of tickets to see them at the Hard Rock Live in February. Tickets do go on sale today at 10 a.m.
All right, gang, thanks. I appreciate it. The Budman here, if you're just joining us right now, and it sounds a little strange. I got a technical problem here with a hookup from the home office where I'm broadcasting from to join my mates in the studio, and so I'm quite literally calling in on the phone just like you do. And by the way, if you want to talk about the school discipline problem and how to clean it up in Brevard County and other school districts, 407-916-5400 on the phone, text line 23680, and you can make a talk back. Alan?
Yeah, I was going to ask, do you need to charge your phone battery?
No, I'm on the landline now.
Ah, the old landline.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Slick.
Yeah. So unless the phone service goes out, I think I may make it to 9 o'clock, or at least the phone will.
Welcome to the 20th century.
I've come into it dragging, kicking, and screaming. You know that, Alan.
I said 20th century.
Oh, okay. Forget the 21st century. Mm-hmm. I want no part of that. Anyway, one more thing that came up yesterday, and took them hours and hours in this marathon Brevard County School a meeting here on what do we do about school discipline. We got things on the books. We have a policy. It looks to me like they're not enforcing some of this stuff, and that's a problem. But I wonder if they need to get tough and take some of these chronic troublemaking kids and literally let them spend some time cooling their heels in the Brevard County Jail. One thing that was a bone of contention yesterday that it took them into overtime was that you had a number of groups concerned that black and Hispanic and other minority students in Brevard County schools are treated differently, and they're worried that it's going to be worse under the new, tougher rules that are beginning to take shape. Claims that there's bias and that they are treated more harshly when they misbehave, that they are disproportionate to their numbers, they are disciplined. And I would only say this, if that's true, that needs to end. But, you know, if you have more minority students being disciplined, it's not necessarily due to bias. Maybe it is due to their behavior. Are they on the right track in cleaning this up? Where would you go with this if you had the ear of the Brevard County Schools?
Yeah, you know, first of all, Bud, I got to say it was heartbreaking watching some of the excerpts of that hearing and hearing the teachers talk about what they go through on a daily basis. So one teacher saying, you know, I'm at the breaking point, like by lunchtime. I frequently cry at work, and I'm not alone. Other teachers are crying, too. So this is a terrible situation, and it comes at a time when we're already seeing a teacher shortage in Florida, and this is not going to help unless they get this problem under control. I think I'm glad to see Brevard County Sheriff Wayne Ivey getting tough. I think you could set an example by, you know, having deputies enter classrooms where students are making trouble and yank them out of there. Or
would you take them to the jail if they're chronic offenders?
You would, whatever punishment is appropriate under the law.
Guy and Lizzie, what about it?
Or you can start at home.
Sorry.
Let parents discipline their kids again. And when I say discipline, I used to get swatted on the behind. I used to have my mouth washed out with soap. I had a whole bunch of things done to me. It wasn't abuse. I was never hit with a closed fist. But let the parents discipline their kids again. It starts at home.
It does start at home in an ideal world, but I don't know how you get that done in this day and age. Lizzie?
I think that you should actually ask the teachers who are experiencing this and take their suggestions and ideas because they deal with it every day.
And I hope that that is part of the ongoing process in Brevard County Schools. This was not a meeting to solve the problem, but to begin putting together a plan moving forward, because what they've been doing here, they say, is just not working. And I'm sure that's not unique to Brevard County Public Schools. Alan, how about the news coming up at the bottom of the hour?
All of a sudden, you can subtract one Democrat from the U.S. Senate. And it was a successful launch for SpaceX. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together and elsewhere. In just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
On the issue of getting handling school disciplinary problems, on the text line, I've been teaching 29 years, and a few years back, a camera was installed in my classroom where I teach. It made teaching so much easier. It keeps everyone accountable for their actions. I love having a camera where I teach. That could be a real important tool if they have that in every classroom. Don't know whether that's so in Brevard County or not, but might be worth a try if it's not. So anyway, let's go over to Alan right now. He had the breaking news in the last half hour, and he has more of it, and it's an important piece of news out of the out of Congress.
Yeah, but Arizona's U.S. Senator Kyrsten Sinema is leaving the Democratic Party. Michael Kastner reports.
In an op-ed written for azcentral.com, Sinema announced she has registered as an independent. She said when she ran for the Senate, she pledged to be independent and work with anyone to achieve lasting results. She added, when politicians are more focused on partisan politics, the people who lose are everyday Americans. Sinema said she's joining the growing number of Arizonans who reject party politics by declaring my independence from the broken partisan system in Washington. Sinema's announcement comes just days after Democrats won a 51-49 majority after Senator Raphael Warnock won Georgia's runoff election. I'm Michael Kastner.
SpaceX is putting dozens of internet satellites into orbit for a competitor. A Falcon 9 rocket blasted off from Kennedy Space Center last night carrying 40 OneWeb satellites. OneWeb is building its own broadband satellite constellation that will compete with the SpaceX Starlink satellites. If you were thinking about getting out of town for Christmas or New Year's, don't let gas prices get in your way.
The state average has declined about 37 cents per gallon just in the past month alone. They're going to get even cheaper.
AAA's Mark Jenkins predicts if the trend continues, regular unleaded will average below $3 a gallon in the next couple of weeks. As of today, the average is about $3.20 a gallon statewide. He says it's 365 days of inspiration Florida Gators football legend Tim Tebow promoting his new book, Mission Possible, one-year devotional for the holidays.
Why wouldn't we start our day, one, with the source of life, and then two, with some practical thoughts to challenge us to maybe get uncomfortable, to challenge us to maybe choose to put other people first instead of ourselves.
On Fox and Friends, Tebow said the greatest tragedy is to look back and realize you were successful in things that didn't matter. The Magic welcome the Toronto Raptors to Orlando for a pair of games tonight and Sunday. The Magic put an end to their 9-game losing streak with an overtime win over the Clippers on Wednesday. WFLA News time is 7:35. Elsewhere. A pop music legend has a sad announcement. Celine Dion says she is suffering from a rare neurological disorder. It's called stiff person syndrome. And she said the disorder impacts about 1 in 1 million people. It's characterized by fluctuating muscle rigidity in the limbs and a heightened sensitivity to stimulus such as noise, touch, and emotional distress can set off muscle spasms. In an Instagram post, Dion said the spasms are impacting her ability to walk and sing. Dion has postponed the restart of her European tour that was set to begin in February.
That's sad.
I watched what she had to say, Alan. I mean, you know, it was heart-wrenching, and she's only 54, but they say they can do some things for this rare disorder, and apparently they haven't given up hope, and she hasn't, that she'll be able to sing again.
Yeah, and we'd hate to hear that beautiful voice that we just listened to silenced. Uh-oh.
Fantastic voice.
Yeah. This episode of Elsewhere is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away. Looking for Miss Universe? Next year's Miss Universe contest is finding a new streaming home. The Miss Universe organization will broadcast the event on the Roku channel. The 3-hour show will be streamed live from New Orleans on January 14th. The contest will feature some 90 women from all over the globe.
Boy, it's amazing. You remember, it wasn't all that many years ago when those big pageants like Miss Universe and Miss America were the biggest event on the main networks right now.
Oh, yeah, the whole family would gather around for the Miss America pageant.
Yeah,
those were the days.
Those were the days, long gone.
Mm-hmm. And finally,
a long time ago when the earth was green, and there was more kinds of animals than you'd ever seen. They'd run around free while the earth was being born. But the loveliest of them all was the unicorn.
And out in California, Los Angeles County is granting a child's request for a unicorn license. The girl recently wrote a letter to Animal Care and Control asking to keep a unicorn in her backyard if she can find one. Director Marcia Mayetta responded with a pink unicorn license and a few conditions. Those conditions include giving the unicorn regular access to sunlight, moonbeams, and rainbows.
It's sweet.
What a great response. Find more on these stories on the Good Morning Orlando page at WFLAOrlando.com. Listen to the Elsewhere podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Just look for Elsewhere. With Alan Spector, an update of news, weather, and traffic, and just 2 minutes away on Good Morning Orlando.
National headlines now. A massive defense spending bill on its way to the Senate after passing the House. One of the more controversial provisions requiring the Pentagon to get rid of the COVID vaccine mandate for members of the military. Now, that must happen within 30 days of the bill becoming law. Stay tuned for updates at least every 10 minutes on our top stories all morning, every day for you. Count on it here on Good Morning Orlando.
News, weather, and traffic for the smartest audience in talk radio. News Radio WFLA Orlando.
Good morning, everybody. It's Bud Hedinger. We're working from the phone here. Got a little bit of a technical problem as I'm doing the show from the home office here this morning while I keep on recovering from that fall some time ago. I'll be back shortly in the studio. Alan and Lizzie and Guy are here. And News Radio WFLA national correspondent Rory O'Neill is joining us here this morning as we revisit the hottest topics so far on the Friday edition of Good Morning Orlando. And it is the fallout from yesterday's explosive announcement by President Biden that he has freed Russian arms dealer, the notorious Victor Boot, in exchange for Putin freeing WNBA basketball star Brittany Griner, who's been imprisoned in Russia on drug charges. Rory, definitely want to get your perspectives on this, so welcome to the show.
Hey, Bud, good morning.
What do you know? What are your thoughts here? What is the latest?
Maybe I'm being overly optimistic. I like to think that this deal isn't done yet. You know, I'm a New England Patriots fan, and a lot of times Bill Belichick made trades that made me scratch my head. But in the long run, you had to have a little bit of faith that he knew what he was doing. So I'm hoping the folks at the State Department have a better idea of something going on and that a deal for Paul Whelan may be announced soon. That's me being optimistic, because on the surface, it doesn't look like a fair trade.
Yeah, a player to be named later is the way they would
exactly
say it in the NFL or Major League Baseball. Rory, some people are probably scratching their heads about the timing of this and why it came down now. Some might suggest, as I did yesterday on the air, that it's no coincidence it happened about one day after the final midterm election was completed. Do you think the Biden administration was waiting for the dust to settle there?
Yeah, I think that was a part of it. John Kirby, the spokesperson for national security, says the deal essentially was done last week, that they agreed to all these terms. But really, this has been the deal that's been on the table since Brittany Griner was arrested in February. The, you know, we'll trade you Boot for both Griner and Whelan. But the Russians just dug in their heels and were not willing to put Whelan on the trading block. And that's why he's still sitting in a prison in Russia. And essentially, President Biden just gave in, maybe because of Christmas is coming, but just said, all right, fine, if they're not going to change, then at least let's get what we can get.
We're going to be talking more about this in the 8 o'clock hour and taking calls and texts on folks' reaction as they come to grips with all of this, which broke during our 8 o'clock hour yesterday on Good Morning Orlando. Let's talk about the status as we speak of Brittany Griner. I mean, she's back in the States or close to it, right? What have we heard from her? What is what happens next for her? And what do we know about Victor Boot, the notorious Russian arms dealer who is now back in Putin's Russia?
Right. So the swap took place in the UAE yesterday, with the two planes, the passengers essentially swapping planes. Brittany Griner's private jet landed in San Antonio, Texas, around 4:30 their time, I think, this morning. So she's been on the ground for just a couple of hours here in the U.S., reuniting with her wife, her father, other family members, also, you know, getting the health check and the debriefing from U.S. authorities. As far as Boot, we've seen some photos of his reunions. We assume that was with his wife, who was hugging him with flowers when he arrived yesterday. The swap essentially is done. And we haven't heard from Brittany Griner yet. We got a brief clip of her from the airplane as she left Russia, but nothing any more extensive than that.
And, you know, Paul Whelan was not totally ignored at the White House news conference yesterday, Rory. His name was mentioned not only by the president, but by Brittany Griner's wife.
Right. And, you know, give credit to the Whelan family. I mean, they essentially said, we're thrilled that Brittany Griner is coming home. We hope that they're going to focus on getting Paul home. But we appreciate and agree with the Biden administration decision to, you know, get the American back that you could get. So a pretty incredible response from the Whelan family, as they essentially agreed with the Biden decision. But we're still disappointed in the outcome.
News Radio WFLA national correspondent Rory O'Neill on the big story of the morning here, that controversial prisoner swap we've been talking about and we'll talk about with you in the 8 o'clock hour. Rory, have a great weekend, and thanks for joining us here on the show as always.
Thanks, Bud. Thanks, Alan.
And in a moment, we're getting a lot of incoming from listeners who are talking about the discipline problems in the Brevard County schools that they are trying to solve, and some solutions from some folks who've given it some thought. We'll share some of that with you as we roll toward the 8 o'clock hour with an update now on Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes. Good morning from us all. Good morning, Orlando, at 7:48. Headlines right now as we look ahead to the new Congress that, of course, will be sworn in early January. The first Gen Z congressman elect from right here in the Orlando area says he was denied an apartment in Washington, D.C. because of his really bad credit. We're talking about 25-year-old Maxwell Frost, who will represent the 10th congressional district right here in the heart of Central Florida when the new Congress convenes next month. Frost says his credit was bad because he ran up a lot of debt running for Congress, which he did successfully. Updates at least every 10 minutes in our top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
News, weather, traffic. This is Good Morning Orlando on News Radio WFLA Orlando.
So we're continuing to talk about the Brittany Griner swap, and we want to know your feelings. Send us a talk back. Are you happy about it? Are you mad about it? Are you indifferent? We want to know. You can do that through the free iHeartRadio app and look up WFLA Orlando. And the future of audio is here, and it's free. You can listen to what you want, whenever you want, on the free iHeartRadio app.
Thank you, Guy. Appreciate that. Guy Roberts, our executive producer, alongside him, Lizzie Steele, Alan Spector, our news guy, and my co-host, and he is in the studio right now. And we are going to get back into the Griner boot swap here in the 8 o'clock hour. And so we'll definitely want to hear from you, phone, text, or talk back. But we're still getting a lot of incoming here, folks who are saying what Brevard County schools need to do to end the disciplinary nightmare with some of these students who are disrupting classes, attacking teachers and school bus drivers, et cetera. They're trying to come up with a revised discipline policy over there. This is interesting. One texter says, you know, there were charges, by the way, yesterday in that long meeting here by minority groups that kids who are black or are Hispanic or of another minority are disproportionately disciplined, that there is a racial and ethnic bias at work, to which a texter responds, I was literally told in Seminole County Public Schools that we could not write up incident reports for ethnic students, and those kids know it. Interesting. If that's true, that's absolutely got to change, you know? If you're cutting up, if you're creating chaos here, it should be a totally colorblind situation in every way. Same response to every kid who does that kind of thing. Another texter says, you know, when I was in school some time ago in Pennsylvania, the parents were held responsible when kids continuously misbehaved, even to the point of fines and expelling the kid and forcing them to send the kid to a private school or homeschool the kids here. So maybe there's some work to be done in that area. Any further thoughts on all of this, Alan? You've been following what's been going on in Brevard County.
Yeah, and I think we should remember what prompted this meeting yesterday was the fact that teachers and bus drivers have been quitting in droves because of this very situation, a lack of student discipline. Something has to be done about it. As I said earlier, it was heartbreaking to watch the teachers go before the school board and others and say, hey, I cry every day. I reach the breaking point every day because of unruly students.
All of this was announced, the plans to deal with the discipline problem in front of the Brevard County Jail in a news conference fronted about a week ago by tough-talking Sheriff Wayne Ivey. And he was there yesterday as well. And we remember he was saying, you know, I remember his quote saying, you know, if you're a little snot disrupting our schools right now, you may want to think of going to school somewhere else because we're about to become your worst nightmare starting now. I think it was no coincidence that he was in front of the jail here. And I'm saying for these kids who chronically misbehave and disrupt the schools or the buses there, maybe landing in the Brevard County Jail for a period of time might ultimately be the kind of deterrent that would keep other kids from going down that road. What about that? Or is that just too tough, guys, and takes us in a direction that we don't want to go?
I said earlier, I'm kind of in favor of the idea of these students who act up on a regular basis, repeat offenders in the classroom, having to deal with perhaps a uniformed Brevard County deputy showing up in the classroom and taking them away in front of everybody else as an example.
Hey, this is interesting. Speaking of, the jail option here for the really bad kids, Texter says, I don't claim to have all the answers, but incarceration for the public school students would likely backfire. That I worked in the Brevard County Jail for years, he writes, including juvenile housing. And if you were raised in a culture that celebrates hustling the system, having street cred, getting sent to jail actually is a feather in your cap with the community you come from. Most of the kids that I worked with and were not, they weren't evil, but they came back as adults. Deputies should not have to come into the class, allow teachers that are able, bus drivers and support staff to stand their ground, capital letters, when an adult-sized teen threatens them or gets physical. Most teachers are afraid to even touch a student. I don't know, if you've got a teacher, a female teacher who's 60 years old or something, been in the system. I mean, I just don't think you can ask that of a teacher in that situation. Do you, Lizzie? I don't think it should be part of a teacher's job.
Yeah, teachers just do too much. Like, they have to be expected to do too much. So anything to make their job easier and, I hate this for teachers.
Yeah, it's hard enough being a teacher without having to deal with this on top of it.
And it's driving teachers out. As you said, Alan, a whole bunch of them have quit in Brevard County since the beginning of the school year, and a bunch of school bus drivers either, because they say, this is not part of my job and I can't take it anymore. The stress is too much to have to deal with kids who are misbehaving like this day after day after day. They're coming together in Brevard County around a plan to get tougher than they have been, and we will follow it. Right now to the news preview with Alan.
And we'll have more on those attempts in Brevard County to deal with student discipline. And an unlikely hero emerges on Thursday Night Football. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together in just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. WMGF HD3, Mount Dora, Orlando. News Radio WFLA, an iHeart radio station.
Good morning, Orlando. Friday morning on the 50,000-watt front porch. Welcome aboard at 8 o'clock for our latest look now at Central Florida's news, weather, and traffic on News Radio WFLA Orlando. On FM 94.1, FM 93.1, still at AM 540, and on the iHeart Radio app. I'm Bud Hedinger.
And I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, classroom discipline under the microscope in Brevard County. More in 1 minute.
And the Griner Boot Swap. We're talking about it with you here on Good Morning Orlando.
8:02 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. School leaders, teachers, parents, and others in Brevard County are trying to get to the bottom of a discipline problem that has seen dozens of teachers and bus drivers quit in recent weeks. During a meeting yesterday, teachers said the classroom is not a safe place.
I've had my hair pulled and been pulled down to the ground. I've had my throat gone for on multiple occasions.
Bernard Bryan with the NAACP urged officials not to be too heavy-handed as they crack down on disruptive students.
I just want to ask Mr. Susan and the board and those who are here in the community, look at our children through the eyes of Christ. Don't segregate them. Don't put them in a position where they feel that they're going to go to prison.
Brevard School Board Chairman Matt Susan says several more meetings will be held before any changes to the district's discipline policy are enacted. Brittany Griner is back in the United States. A plane carrying Griner landed this morning in San Antonio, Texas. Thanks to a prisoner exchange, the WNBA star is reuniting with her wife and parents after being jailed in Russia for nearly 10 months. Meanwhile, some Pentagon officials are concerned that the Russian arms dealer who was released in the swap for Greiner could go back to illegally trafficking weapons, Trey Thomas reports.
Arms dealer Victor Boot was serving a 25-year prison sentence in the U.S. on charges of conspiring to kill Americans, delivery of anti-aircraft missiles, and aiding a terrorist organization. Pentagon officials worry that Boot could go back to fueling conflicts around the world. Boot is a former Soviet military officer who launched a cargo airline with a small fleet of planes in 1995. Trey Thomas, News Radio, WFLA, Orlando.
Investigators are looking for who is behind attacks on a half dozen Florida substations. Those attacks occurred around the time of Hurricane Ian in September. Duke Energy officials believe that the person responsible had inside knowledge of the substations and how to shut down the equipment. On Thursday night football between the Rams and Raiders in Los Angeles, it was a Hollywood ending.
Quarterback Baker Mayfield was claimed by the Rams off waivers just 2 days before, but he led Los Angeles on two fourth-quarter scoring drives to pull out a comeback 17-16 win over the Raiders. Mayfield was 22 of 35 for 230 yards and a touchdown pass to Van Jefferson with just 10 seconds left to seal an improbable victory in what has otherwise been a disastrous season for the Rams. LA improves to 4-9 on the year, snapping a six-game losing streak. Meanwhile, it's a devastating loss for the Raiders, who had won three straight games, but now fall to 5-8 on the season. I'm Eric Messersmith, Fox News.
WFLA News Time is 8:05. A mom allegedly brought her kid along while stealing Christmas ornaments from churches. That story is online at WFLAOrlando.com. You can be cruising with the Beach Boys, among other rock and roll stars. Keep listening to find out how. The third hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
Quick wit and compelling perspectives. Glenn Beck, 9 till noon. News Radio, WFLA Orlando.
Good morning, Orlando. Great to have you with us for hour number three on a Friday morning. The Budman, along with Alan, Guy, and Lizzie. And my apologies if I sound a little bit different here. Got a technical problem in my home office hookup, and I'm working on the phone right now. So I'm literally phoning it in just like you do. And by the way, if you want to talk about the Greiner swap here, engineered by President Biden and his team, and gaining freedom for Victor Boot here, 407-916-5400. If you want to phone it in and let us know what you think, we'd love to hear from you.
Just who are you accusing of phoning it in, bud?
What's that?
I said, just who are you accusing of phoning it in, bud? Maybe I'm too sensitive. I'm sorry.
You've also suspected that I phone it in now and then. And boy, today I couldn't argue with you, Alan. I really couldn't. But if it sounds a little different, that's what the situation is. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend planned. It's a great, great time of the year as we hit the holiday season here. But I don't know that anybody's going to be doing it up this weekend quite like you are, Guy. What is about to happen to you and your wonderful wife right after the show today?
Yep. As soon as the show's done and I get the podcast up, I am going to pick up my wife from the house. We're going to go to the airport, and we are flying to Atlanta for her Christmas gala, and it is a big to-do. Everyone gets dressed up to the nines. I mean tuxedos, ball gowns, and it's just a fantastic time, and it's going to be in Atlanta. Actually, it's going to be in Buckhead, which is just a little north of Atlanta.
Yeah, this is her employer that is putting it on?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone from the Miami office, Las Vegas office, Alabama office, they all fly in to go to this party.
Nice.
All expenses paid, the whole deal. Top shelf all the way?
You can get anything you want. They just don't tell you. They tell you not to go overboard.
Hmm.
Which we did 1 year.
I was going to say, we know Guy Roberts well enough to know he's going to have a real problem in that area.
Well, he is a Navy veteran. I bet he's been overboard a couple of times.
Yes, a couple. No, I will be good because there is a brewery right next door.
Oh, man. All your needs are being met. Have a great time this weekend, okay? We'll have stories to tell on Monday, all right?
Absolutely.
All right, let's get going here on the Biden-Greiner boat prisoner swap that broke just about this time on the show yesterday, and you've had a chance to think about it. You just heard what Alan brought you at the top of the hour on all of this. What is your reaction? Let's talk. And we've got some things, by the way, you're going to want to hear. And we'll get right into it after we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes. Good morning, Orlando. His health note for you in the headlines, the FDA is authorizing COVID-19 vaccines that target the Omicron variant for children as young as 6 months old. Children 6 months through 5 years of age are now eligible for the booster 2 months after Moderna's two-dose vaccine series. Updates for you at least every 10 minutes are the top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
The new form of broadcast excellence. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton, noon to 3 p.m. News Radio WFLA Orlando.
So here are the questions I have for you this morning. Brittany Griner is free, the WNBA basketball star. But we gave up the Russian arms dealer, the notorious merchant of death, Victor Boot. He is now free as well. This is the Biden swap with Putin, and it's Boot for Griner. Should it have been done? Why did Biden do it? And why did Putin agree to do it now? We'll talk about it, but we want to know what you think at 407-916-5400. Speaking of the phone, Pete's on the line from Orlando. Your take on the swap, Pete.
Hey, good morning, guys. So, you know, I was listening earlier. Rory O'Neill was talking. I've never laughed so hard from Rory O'Neill ever, and because he said that he was hoping the administration knew what they were doing and had something up their sleeve for a better trade later on or something to that effect, right? I mean, I spit my coffee out and busted out.
Yeah, I mean, he was just talking about something. I mean, he doesn't have anything on that. There's no reporting on it. He is just thinking, goodness, they wouldn't have done something this outrageous unless they had something going on that we don't know about.
He's putting a lot of trust in this administration that I just don't have because – you know, if Russia would not trade an arms dealer for a spy, right, they would give it up for a WNBA player. I mean, what do we have in our midst that's better than a Russian arms dealer that they would trade our
Yeah, well, your point's well taken, and I think we've had a little issue on the phone, so I'm going to cut you loose, Pete, but thank you for listening, and thank you, as always, for calling. I think Biden did it. I mean, Biden is absolutely being controlled by the left. I mean, he's a liberal anyway, but he's been pulled even further to the left by the left wing of the Democrat Party, and they pull his strings, and it's like a puppet or marionette, you know, and this is what's going on here. The left, to them, getting Griner back is just, I mean, it couldn't be anything more important. I'm sure to them, she is more important than whatever happens now that we have freed this Russian arms dealer, the merchant of death, Victor Boot. Because they are looking at her. We got to have Griner back. She's a compelling spokesperson for black women and also a role model for the LGBT community. To them, to the left, the way they think. But I'm sorry, it's the most unbalanced trade I've ever heard of. But I think Biden did it for that reason. I think Putin agreed to it for this reason. He is having a lot of trouble handling the Ukraine. He's losing the war that he declared on them almost 10 months ago. And he needs more weaponry than he's got. And Victor Boot knows where all the weapons supplies and caches of weapons in nations that would make them available to Russia are located. He has all of the contacts, and he's right now back whispering in Putin's ear. And that's why Putin agreed to this out of desperation to turn around his fortunes in this war. And trust me, mark my words, Victor Boot is going to be back on the world stage, and there's going to be hell to pay for it. And I hope some hell to pay for Joe Biden for agreeing to this swap. What do you guys think about it? It all broke yesterday. Lizzie and Guy, while we were on the air at this very moment yesterday, you've had 24 hours to think about it. What do you think this morning?
I think it's a complete disrespect to the Marine who was left behind. I'm very happy that Brittany is here.
Mm-hmm.
But I just find that very disrespectful that he was left behind. And I don't want to hear anybody ever to say anything about we need to strengthen gun control ever again.
That's a good point.
You're up.
That's a good point. He just released one of the most dangerous arms dealers in the world. And he wants to start banning guns here. Are you nuts?
So he's for it.
By the way, let's flip around the plan for the sound cuts we want to play right now in reverse order, because you raise up an issue of Victor Boot. And if you don't know who he is, let me just play something for you right now. This is the trailer for a movie called Lord of War that hit theaters in 2005, starring Nicolas Cage as Victor Boot, the international arms dealer. Notorious then, notorious now. And the first voice you're going to hear is Cage playing Boot.
There are over 550 million firearms in worldwide circulation. That's one firearm for every 12 people on the planet. The only question is, how do we arm the other 11? Selling guns is like selling vacuum cleaners. You make calls, pound the pavement. I supplied every army but the Salvation Army. By the mid-80s, my weapons were represented in 8 of the world's top 10 war zones.
Damn, you are good.
You get rich by giving the poorest people on the planet the means to continue killing each other.
I would tell you to go to hell, but I think you're already there.
That's a movie about this guy, Victor Boot. So should the deal have been done? Why did Biden do it? And why did Putin agree to it now? Let's talk after we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes. Good morning, Orlando. This headline from the story we're talking about with you, Brittany Griner, of course, released from that Russian prison. She has returned to the United States, arriving in San Antonio this morning at 4:30 for a medical check at the Brook Army Medical Center. And she's being reunited with her family. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
Money, real estate, investments. Learn from the pros, evenings and weekends. News Radio, WFLA Orlando.
Hey, it's Guy Roberts. Guess who's coming to town in March? Michael Bolton, Grammy Award winner Michael Bolton. That's going to be Tuesday, March 21st at the Dr. Phillips Center, and we have your chance to get in. All you have to do is go to WFLAOrlando.com, go to the promotions page, and you'll see Grammy Award winner Michael Bolton there. Click there, and you can enter for your chance to win tickets to go see him.
Fantastic opportunity there for you. Allen's just joining us right now. You've had 24 hours to think this over, this swap that has so many, including me, pretty outraged here. What are your thoughts on it all, Alan?
Well, you know, we're talking with Rory, our national correspondent, earlier, and made the comparison of a player to be named later if an event, another person, perhaps Paul Whelan, is swapped by the Russians to the U.S. But to use a sports metaphor, I think this particular trade was a one-sided deal. And I think it's something that was really the end game for the Russians to begin with. The whole point of picking up Brittany Griner was to use her as a pawn to get someone like Victor Boot released from the U.S.
The White House maintains, Biden maintains, that they couldn't get Paul Whelan out, that the Russians wouldn't budge on that. You know, they consider him to be a spy. I think the charges are baseless. He was a corporate security executive who's been jailed in Russia since the end of 2018 on espionage charges. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, a texter asked, so would it have been okay to trade the Marine Paul Whelan for the arms dealer Victor Boot? No, it would not have been, in my view. And Trump, it is reported this morning in the New York Post, nixed a deal that could have been the Whelan for Boot deal when he was president of the United States, because he even said with Paul Whelan, as much as I want him back, we are simply giving up too much when we give Russia back Victor Boot. And the White House was saying all we could do was we could only get one American out, and it was Brittany Griner. Well, then you don't do the deal. You don't do the deal.
I thought we don't negotiate with terrorists.
Well, you know, these things go on, and these prisoner swaps and negotiations. And as I'm being reminded on the text line by several of you, and this is why I love this audience, because you really are the smartest audience in talk radio. I'm not just doing that to schmooze you. It's true. I have one texter here as an example. Don't forget that Obama traded five Taliban leaders to get the army deserter Bo Bergdahl back here in the country. That might be the worst trade of this kind ever. And you know, when you look at it, it truly is. But this one is bad as well. And I hope the president pays a price for it. More than that, I hope we can find a way to get Whalen out. And another thing, I have no idea what's going to happen with Victor Boot out there and working with Putin on the world stage. And I can tell you, it's not going to be good. And those chickens, when they come home to roost, it could be pretty bad for the president. What did former President Trump have to say about this? He really ripped into Biden on Truth Social. And I have that quote for you here. Sure I do. Working from the home office on the phone right now. And I have the piece of paper somewhere, but doggone it, I can't find it. I can't find it. But Trump really ripped him. And Republicans are. Marjorie Taylor Greene is calling for Biden's impeachment. But you can't impeach a president for bad policy. And it would never result in a conviction in the United States Senate. Man, I wish I could get this Trump quote up here. And if I can't do it right now, I will get it done along the way. But in the meantime, let's get something done in the news department as we bring in Alan for your news update at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour.
SpaceX helps out a competitor and a holiday gift for Florida drivers. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together and elsewhere in just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
Budman here, turning it over to Alan for a news update. I'll tell you, Alan, these days the space program's going such great guns. Every time you look up, there's a rocket going up, and it was a spectacular launch last night, just around the time of sunset.
That's right, Bud. SpaceX sending 40 internet satellites into orbit for its competitor, OneWeb. A Falcon 9 rocket lifted off from Kennedy Space Center late yesterday afternoon.
3, 2, 1, ignition.
SpaceX is helping out OneWeb, a British company that saw several launches from Russia canceled after Russia invaded Ukraine. Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema is leaving the Democratic Party. In an op-ed written for azcentral.com, Sinema announced she has registered as an independent. Sinema's announcement comes just days after Democrats won a 51-49 majority when Senator Raphael Warnock prevailed in Georgia's runoff election. Here in Florida, State Representative Joe Harding, who was indicted on federal fraud charges Wednesday, has resigned. The indictments allege Harding, a Republican from Marion County, illegally obtained or tried to obtain more than $150,000 in pandemic aid loans for small businesses. Just in time for you to head home for the holidays, you should be getting a gift at the gas station.
We should see that downward trend of the pump continue.
AAA's Mark Jenkins says now that oil prices have dropped to about $70 or so per barrel from more than $90 about a month ago, prices at the pump are following.
There's a good chance the state average will drop below $3 a gallon, possibly in time for Christmas.
Right now it's averaging about $3.20 a gallon for regular in Florida, which is actually a bit cheaper than this time last year when prices were averaging just below $3.28 a gallon.
Erica Rodriguez, News Radio, WFLA, Orlando.
The FDA is authorizing COVID-19 vaccines that target the Omicron variant for children as young as 6 months old. Children 6 months through 5 years are now eligible for the booster 2 months after Moderna's two-dose vaccine series. Florida Gators football legend Tim Tebow is out with a new book. Tebow says it's here in time for the holidays, but the idea is to help folks focus on what's really important all year long.
There are so many things that are challenging us for our attention, and they're saying, hey, make this the most important thing in your day. Make this the most important. That's why Mondays are so hectic, right? Because we got all these things to get done in the week.
Tebow talked up his one-year devotional, Mission Possible, during an appearance on Fox and Friends. He says it provides 365 days of inspiration. WFLA News Time is 8:34. Elsewhere. There's legal trouble for one of these boys. And Backstreet Boys member Nick Carter is back in the headlines for the wrong reason. He's being sued for sexual battery. A woman named Shannon Ruth says when she was 17 in 2001, Carter allegedly assaulted her multiple times on his tour bus in Washington State. Sources close to the singer say the accusations are completely false. Now, this isn't the first time Carter's faced such accusations. Another woman made a similar claim back in 2002. And this late development, The Hollywood Reporter says the special, A Very Backstreet Holiday, that was scheduled to run next Wednesday night on ABC, is being replaced by comedy reruns.
Boy, they must think there is something to this, hey, Adam?
Well, you know, you don't need this kind of publicity right before you're going to show a special featuring the Backstreet Boys.
Yep.
Elsewhere, you don't have to be nice to have a book written about you.
No more!
A new book about Alice Cooper is set to arrive ahead of the rockers, can you believe it, 75th birthday. The biography titled Alice Cooper at 75 will appear on Motorbooks on January 31st. Journalist Gary Graff narrates Cooper's career through the lens of 75 key events, releases, and collaborations. The book dives into his childhood and early garage band days. Alice Cooper turns 75 on February 4th. And despite what his song says about being no more Mr. Nice Guy, I actually had the chance to meet Alice Cooper, and he is a very nice guy.
I got to see him in concert. Let me tell you what. You want to talk about show production?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep. He does it up big. He does it right. And to introduce our final story, the great Clarence Carter and a little number called I Smell a Rat. New York City is still on the hunt for its rat czar. Mayor Eric Adams says he's fixated on killing rats, adding they take up residency in every neighborhood across the five boroughs. See, there they are now. The city posted a job listing last week looking for a bloodthirsty candidate who would be willing to successfully mitigate the city's rat problem, earning them a paycheck of up to $170,000 a year.
Whoa.
The mayor says he fears rats and says anyone who is not afraid of them is his hero and can have the job as New York City's rat czar.
I used to have a couple as pets.
A lot of people do.
They're actually extremely intelligent, and once you handle them for quite a bit of time, they stop biting you and they're actually very friendly.
All right, rat supporter Guy Roberts is here this morning. And
yeah, but the New York rats are different. Apparently they're mean and nasty, and they're like the size of a small dog, you know?
Yeah, they wear black leather jackets. They smoke cigarettes.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
walks around snapping their fingers.
That's exactly. When you're a rat. Find more on these stories on the Good Morning Orlando page at WFLAOrlando.com. Listen to the Elsewhere podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Just look for Elsewhere. With Alan Spector, and we're back with an update of news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
Now, the headline for you now, the Justice Department asking a federal judge to hold former President Trump's legal team in contempt of court over documents in the Mar-a-Lago raid. The request comes after Trump's lawyers said they found more classified items during a recent search of several of Trump's properties before Thanksgiving. Updates for you at least every 10 minutes on our top stories are promised on Good Morning Orlando.
Quick wit and compelling perspectives. Glenn Beck, 9 till noon. News Radio, WFLA Orlando.
This is one of my favorite Christmas songs of all time. And speaking of it being Christmas, News Radio WFLA Orlando wants to make your Christmas wish come true. What might that be? Maybe you need help with the bills. Maybe you need some extra presents for the kids. Or maybe you just want to buy that someone special something special. Well, we're granting Christmas wishes all across America now through December 16th. And let us grant your Christmas wish now at WFLAOrlando.com/promotions. It's all brought to you by Netspen.
Good stuff, Guy. Thanks, and Merry Christmas to you from all of us here on News Radio WFLA, and Good Morning, Orlando. Well, I have managed to dig my way to the bottom of my stack of stuff, as Rush would say, and I found the Trump reaction to the Biden-engineered swap that we've been talking about all morning, Griner for boot. Trump on Truth Social. What kind of a deal is it to swap Brittany Griner, a basketball player who openly hates our country, for the man known as the Merchant of Death, who is one of the biggest arms dealers anywhere in the world and responsible for tens of thousands of deaths and horrific injuries? Trump went on to say, why wasn't former Marine Paul Whelan included in this totally one-sided transaction? Trump said that he would have been let out for the asking. What a stupid and unpatriotic embarrassment for the USA, Trump concluded on Truth Social. You know, on the issue of where Brittany Griner stands regarding the United States of America, you know, the America-hating accusations, not far from the mark. I mean, and you'll remember this, I think, I certainly do, that Griner called for the national anthem not to be played before the WNBA basketball game. She's a big star in the Pro Women's League, has been for years. And this was in protest of the killing of a black woman by the name of Breonna Taylor. And at that point, Griner, this is a couple of years ago, refused to even be on the court when the national anthem was played. I wonder if she sees this country a little bit differently now that she is back from Russia and imprisonment and now is tasting freedom once again. I just wonder whether she'll get it and articulate it in that regard. We will see. Anyway, yeah, a couple of things here that we talked about early in the show. Second edition of the so-called Twitter files that Elon Musk has green-lighted, having been released here, exposing what was going on with Twitter in terms of suppressing conservative opinion and thought expressed on the social media platform under the prior ownership before Elon Musk bought it for $44 billion recently and pledged to make it a fair and balanced platform for First Amendment free speech. Part two here of these internal documents, and all of this Musk gave over to journalist Barry Weiss, who put out the contents last night. And here we go, a few of the things that are in there. A new Twitter files investigation, Weiss says, reveals that teams of Twitter employees build blacklists, prevent disfavored tweets from trending, actively limit the visibility of entire accounts, or even trending topics, all in secret without informing users. She goes on to talk about the Twitter prior ownership and their visibility filtering here, where they controlled user visibility. They would use visibility filtering to block searches of individual users, to limit the scope of a particular tweet's discoverability, block select users' posts from ever appearing on the trending page and from inclusion in hashtag searches. So that's something of what's going on there. One more thing we talked about here, marathon meeting, the Brevard County School Board. Alan's had great coverage of it in our news. We talked about it earlier here, trying to get a handle on out-of-control behavior by some students, their discipline policies not working, and we've been talking about what it's going to take to get things under control there, and I suspect there were similar problems in other school districts. Guy and Lizzie, let me ask you here, and I think Alan's with us as well, where should the focus be on getting a handle on school discipline so teachers can teach and school bus drivers can drive without this stuff going on?
Start disciplining kids again. Quit being so soft on them and saying, oh, you're okay, and you're just putting them in time. No, discipline your kids. It all starts at home.
Talk with the teachers and the bus drivers. Have a meeting with them and nobody else, and then you'll get your answer.
Yeah, I do like
those. What's your bottom line on that, Alan?
Yeah, I do like those ideas, and also my suggestion earlier with Brevard Sheriff Wayne Ivey promising to get tough, that perhaps when we have these repeat offenders in the classroom, the real troublemakers who really create dangerous situations for teachers and other students, that perhaps a uniformed deputy coming into the classroom and escorting them out might be a good signal for other kids.
Yeah, I'm with you on that for sure. We'll watch it because this is going to unfold. They didn't really hammer down anything in terms of revising their school discipline policy except to admit that what they're doing is not working. This is something that we're going to be watching as it takes shape over a period of time in the upcoming weeks here. Oh, finally, before we leave you here, we got some good news. On the new list of the most fun cities in all of America, guess what? If you live in and around Orlando, you are living in the second funny, most fun city in the USA.
I thought you were going to say the second funniest city in the USA.
Well, I don't know about funny, but supposedly more fun to be had here, and
all right.
I totally agree with that.
Laugh it up.
And we will, right after a final check of Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes. Good morning, Orlando. Final check of headlines for you right now. A massive defense spending bill on its way to the Senate after passing the House. One of the more controversial provisions requiring the Pentagon to get rid of the COVID vaccine mandate for members of the United States military. And that has to happen within 30 days of the bill becoming law. Updates at least every 10 minutes of the top stories here on Good Morning Orlando.
From News Radio WFLA, this is Good Morning Orlando. Call us at 407-916-5400 or text us at 23680.
Good morning, it's Guy Roberts, and I'm about to board a plane to head to my wife's company Christmas party, and you know what I think I might listen to on the plane? iHeart Christmas, and it's on the free iHeart Radio app, which I have already downloaded, but if I want a specific vibe, I might listen to Coffeehouse Christmas, maybe Crooner Christmas. There's a whole bunch of different Christmas-themed songs you can listen to, or music. All you have to do is go to the free iHeart Radio app and search Christmas to find these playlists and more.
Well, that's great, Guy, but maybe your wife would like to talk to you once in a while on the plane.
No, she likes to sleep.
Okay, just checking.
You're going first class all the way this weekend because she has a great job, and her company is doing a Christmas party. I mean, we had a nice Christmas party here at iHeart, and you know, but I've never experienced a corporate Christmas party quite like the folks for whom your wife works, and this is going to be fantastic, isn't it?
Absolutely. I'm so looking forward to it.
Going to be up in Atlanta and first class all the way, all expenses paid. Have a great, great time. Hey, you know, I've always loved living in Orlando. We uprooted our families. We're living in Syracuse, New York in the mid-1980s, came down here. And the first thing I did, because I had a month off before I started as a news anchor at Channel 9 in the 80s, just every single day our kids went around Central Florida doing fun things so they could start getting excited about their new home after they'd left their friends and everything. And it was endless. All those years ago, what you could do here. And it wasn't just theme parks and the beach. It was just so much. And it's so interesting to find out that in the new Wallet Hub survey that is just out, they rated the most fun cities in America. And Orlando came in number two. Number two. And it was rated among the very best when it came to entertainment and recreation, nightlife and parties, and all at reasonable cost, except if you go to Disney. But anyway, let me give you the top 10 list of most fun cities. Number 10, Chicago. You know, if running for your life is your idea of a good time, that's Chicago.
It's good for your cardio.
What?
It's good for your cardio.
Yeah, there you go. Number 9 is New York City. Number 8 is Honolulu, Hawaii.
The seventh most fun city is Austin, Texas. Number six, San Francisco. Number five, New Orleans, which I thought, you know, with the French Quarter and all of that, I thought it might be higher on the list. It's number five. Atlanta's number four. Miami is number three. Orlando is number two. And what do you think the most fun city in America is, according to Wallet Hub?
Peoria, Illinois.
Oh, geez, Alan, you're too good. No, no, no. This one's obvious.
Las Vegas.
Got it. Absolutely. Yep.
Nailed
it. Las Vegas had it. What's that? They were number one for entertainment and recreation and for nightlife and parties. We were number three for entertainment and recreation, number two for nightlife and parties. But among the top 10 cities, they say that it is more economical to go out and have a fun time in Orlando than any other of the top 10 cities. So what do you think?
Well, did they include the recent ticket price hikes at Disney World when they figured how cheap it is to have fun here?
Yeah, it's like I say, and I wonder when you factor that in how we could be the most economical place to go for a good time. But, you know, it's one of the things our kids still talk about, and they still live here, is what a great time we had when we first came to Central Florida. I mean, it was just unbelievable, all the things we did. And discovering that there were lakes every place and fun attractions of all kinds, and it's only gotten better since then. So I've always loved that about this area. What are you doing this weekend, Alan? Anything exciting?
Yeah.
Okay. Mind your own business.
Yeah, mind your own business. I'm doing stuff. That's all you need to know.
You got anything cooking, Lizzie? You got a show tomorrow morning.
That's right. Check out Better Lawns and Gardens from 7 to 9 a.m. with host Teresa Watkins. She is a genius whenever it comes to plants and stuff. So, yeah, you can get your texts and calls. And
just another reason why Orlando is one of the most fun cities in the United States.
That's right.
There you go. We're celebrating Christmas as a family a little bit early because certain members of our family are going to be other places in the country visiting extended family. So we've got like the big Christmas dinner with everybody coming over on Saturday night, and that's going to be fun. And Lindy is already cooking and baking some of her fantastic Christmas cookies, and I better go light on those or Dr. Kronhaus will be on my doorstep. But at any rate, we're glad you're with us here this morning. We hope you have a great weekend. No matter what you want to do, anywhere you are in Central Florida, it can be a good time if you make it so. For the whole team, the Budman here, thank you. God bless you, and God bless America.
If you missed any part of Good Morning Orlando, check out our podcast on the free iHeartRadio app and at WFLAOrlando.com.